3, which is 04-1428, and it's the United States versus Daryl Hedges. Mr. Mandel? That's okay. I spoke very quietly. All right.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is David Mandel, and I represent the appellant, Daryl Hedges. This case really is a factual case. This is a case where there was no probable cause at all to stop Mr. Hedges for committing a traffic violation. This is an instance where the police officer created the traffic violation. As the facts show, Mr. Hedges was trying to get over into a left-hand turn lane only to turn on Highway 51 South, and he was in the middle lane where such a turn is not permitted. The police officer who came up from behind him in the left-hand turn lane only to identify the vehicle was claiming that he was trying to tail him, looking for any possible traffic violation.
You know, Mr. Mandel, I have a very specific question for you, and it's this. After he gave incriminating information, namely after he admitted that he had prescription drugs without a prescription, Hedges asked if he could get his ticket and if he could be on his way. Doesn't that tell us pretty conclusively that he thought he was free to leave the scene as soon as he received his ticket? And doesn't that mean that there was no custodial arrest at that point for Miranda purposes?
No, I think Mr. Hedges was making a last-ditch effort, hoping that he could convince the officer, just give him a ticket so he could get out of Dodge, so to speak. He was never free to leave. He knew that. I mean, at best, that was a gratuitous statement. Can you just write me a ticket already? The fact of the matter is, they shouldn't have stopped him in the first place. They didn't have probable cause to believe he was committing a traffic violation because the officer created the situation. He cut him off, and he wouldn't let him pull over into the left-hand lane until right before the turn. And then he stops to allow my client to make the turn, who had his blinker on, and then says that's an illegal left-hand turn.
Well, let's assume that under Childs, the arrest was an arrest on probable cause. Just assume. What about the arrest turned it into a custodial arrest, and at what point do you think that happened?
Well, when they took away his license and they four or five squad cars pull up and they tell him to go sit in the back of the squad car where he's not, it was apparent to him that he was not free to leave the scene. He was attempting and hoping when he makes the gratuitous statement, well, just write up the ticket. But the fact of the matter is he was in custody from the moment they stopped him and he wasn't free to leave, and the officers testified that if he had asked to leave, he wasn't free to leave. And it was apparent, both to Mr. Hedges and everyone else on the scene. But I think before we even reach that question, I mean, this is an egregious case where they created the traffic violation. It's no different than an officer trying to veer into you, so you pull to your right, and then he pulls you over for deviating, or where they ride on your bumper, and so you finally speed up to get away, and they charge you with speeding. This is the exact same situation, and I don't think it's appropriate to create a traffic violation intentionally as a justification to pull the person over for that traffic violation. That's exactly what occurred here.
Would just the information that they bought, $500-$600 worth of cough medicine, have just given probable cause in and of itself?
You know, that's a hard question to answer. I guess the best answer I have for that, if the officer had a reasonable suspicion that criminal activity was occurring, articulable suspicion, he would have just pulled him over. He didn't have that. All he knew.
I know what he says. It was the abrupt turn, he put the brake on, and that gave him the reason to stop for the lane change. But put that aside. What if they just had the information?
I don't believe...
The guys in that van that just pulled out of Woodman's has... They just bought $600 worth of cough medicine.
I think that's only an assumption. I don't think it rises
pretty
to
pretty unusual.
It's unusual, but I don't think it gives rise to sufficient belief that criminal activity was afoot.
Well,
if it did, they could have just stopped him. And just if I could adjust just one thing, the officer's testimony that he stopped abruptly to let him in was not in his police reports. That was manufactured at the time of the evidentiary hearing. He testified that his report was made, that it was accurate.
But the magistrate found that, so...
I understand that, and I think that was...
Even though it wasn't in the...
I think that was clear error on the part of the magistrate, to be quite frank with the court. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Tuchman? Really? Oh...
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Meredith Dushman. I'm an Assistant United States Attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. I am the attorney of record in this case, and I did write the brief. There are really two groups of issues. We've got the suppression issues, and then we've got the Booker issue. And I actually want to start with the Booker issue this morning because our position today is a little bit different than it was in our supplemental position statement. Under United States versus Booker, no question, district court used mandatory scheme and then enhanced the defendant's sentence. That was error. And even though the United States argued in its supplemental position statement that the error was not plain error, now having the benefit of this court's decision in especially United States versus Palladino and other cases, I think this is a close enough call where a Palladino remand is warranted, and so the United States concedes that would be appropriate. And if, unless you have any questions on that, I'll proceed to the suppression issues.
Okay,
turning to the suppression issues, it's the United States' position that there was probable cause for the traffic stop, there was reasonable suspicion under Terry in any event, and that the defendant was not subject to custodial interrogation.
How, under Childs, is the government's view that Terry, that this was a Terry stop, still permissible?
Well, I think that case law is clear that every single traffic stop is certainly a detention. No question about that.
It's an arrest, period.
Right. And certainly that's what Child says. I think the question, though, for Fifth Amendment purposes is certainly not all traffic stops, just because the defendant is being detained, doesn't necessarily mean the defendant is in custody for purposes of the Fifth Amendment. And I think this is a perfect illustration of a case where, you know, you've got an initial Terry-type traffic stop that really turns into a full custodial arrest based on factors that is developing as, you know, the officer is present.
Are you arguing that this was a Terry stop? Because I really have a problem with that.
Well,
I think, you know, whether it's a custodial arrest is a whole other story, and, you know, we need to look at the totality of the circumstances here.
Right, and I think Your Honor's concern is exactly right. The issue here is not whether we should call it a Terry stop or whether we should call it arrest, but really whether it's a custodial arrest for Fifth Amendment purposes, and we don't think that it was. And there are several reasons that we don't think it was, of course.
Do we know what the officer, how the officer responded when Hedges asked if he could get his ticket and be on his way?
We don't know. But, and the court alluded to this earlier, I think the fact that the defendant said, while he was in the back of that squad car, gosh, can you just give me the ticket and let me be on my way, coupled with some of the other factors, like the fact that you got a traffic stop in the middle of the day on a busy road. There's no evidence that the officers overcame the defendant's will in any way. There's no guns drawn. Defendant was not placed in handcuffs, although the defendant argued that vehemently to the contrary. The court specifically found that he was not placed in handcuffs until after he was under custodial arrest. And, you know, it may very well be that Hedges here subjectively thought and, you know, perhaps feared that he was going to be under arrest at some point because he knew it was in his van. But the fact that he might have feared that subjectively does not make him under arrest for Miranda purposes. Unless the court has any questions on the custody issue, I'll go backwards then to the initial stop. The defendant's argument just conveniently ignores three specific factual findings that the district court made. One, that the defendant did in fact commit an illegal left-hand turn. Two, that the officer didn't create the violation. And three, that the defendant himself was not a credible witness on the issue. And the magistrate made those factual findings and the court adopted those findings after the magistrate had an opportunity to hear both the officer and the defendant testify and assess their credibility. The only thing really defendant brings here today is the same self-serving, unreliable testimony, and that's just not enough under the clear error standard to have his conviction overturned. And really, the defendant's desire to continually debate this issue of whether or not it was really just a late, you know, lane change or whether or not it was a legal left-hand turn is just misplaced. The United States doesn't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt he committed the illegal left turn. As long as the officer had a reasonable belief that that was the case, he had probable cause for the stop, and that's exactly what happened here. We've got an experienced officer, knows the difference between a lane change and an illegal left-hand turn. He testified credibly that the defendant turned left directly from his own lane, which was not a turn lane. The magistrate agreed with that. The district court adopted that finding, and that finding is not plain error. Court alluded to earlier as well, another independent basis for the stop was reasonable suspicion under Terry. What did the officers know at the time? They knew two people in an out-of-state vehicle had just purchased $600 worth of cold medicine at a grocery store. These same folks had already aroused enough suspicion at the grocery store to warrant a call to police. And they knew that these individuals got into a van with Indiana plates and Mark 8 written on the back. As I discussed in the brief, the uniqueness of the vehicle, together with the proximity and time and location to the suspicious purchase, the officer knew he had the right vehicle. And the defendant makes a lot of the fact that it's not illegal to purchase $600 worth of cold medicine. No question about that. Not illegal, but it's really odd. And just as the magistrate noted, to anybody with even the most basic working knowledge of methamphetamine, that screams meth cook. Anybody in an out-of-state vehicle purchasing that quantity. And I think that the defendant tries to distinguish that analogy, tries to say, yeah, but that's really only one thing that he purchased, and really that was, you know, it's legal to purchase that, and that's true. But I think in combination with the out-of-state plates and the $600 worth of cold medicine, that really is in itself enough to create reasonable suspicion, and that's what the district court found, and we would submit that finding was not error. And unless the court has any other questions, we would ask that the court affirm the conviction and remand the sentence under Palladino.
And that, of course, is your strongest position, the reasonable suspicion position, correct?
Actually, I think, they're both equally strong. I think given the district court's specific factual findings on the first issue, the traffic stop, I think that's just as strong or stronger.
Thank you. Mr. Mandel.
Thank you, Your Honor. I may just briefly respond. First of all, with respect to the magistrate's findings, it was clear from the evidence and from rational descriptions of what occurred and what the officer said he was doing and what lane he was in and how he would have lost the tail if my client had continued to go straight, and the fact that my client had his directional signal on, the officer was behind him and knew he was trying to get into the left-hand lane and kept blocking him all the way up to the intersection. What I think happened here is clearly the magistrate took a result that he wanted to and then backfilled with verbal cellophane. And I know that may seem harsh, but that I believe, is exactly what occurred here. It's just inconceivable to believe this officer's testimony that somehow he was tailing the guy, didn't see his blinker on. The guy was trying to pull into the turn, and he stops to let him get in and to make the turn south onto 51 to get onto the interstate. That, I mean, it's just so disingenuous for him to make that those statements and to say that he believed he committed a traffic violation. The officer created that situation. And for the government to say that that argument is just as strong as the reasonable suspicion argument, I think undermines their reasonable suspicion argument. I think of the two arguments, that's certainly the stronger, but I think the mere fact of a purchase of $600 worth of cold medicine creates an assumption, but it doesn't rise to the Terry standard. The fact that the license plate was from out of state means absolutely nothing. If it was a license plate from in state, would that have changed the reasonable suspicion? I mean, is methamphetamine only manufactured in places outside the state of Wisconsin? I think not. And I think, quite frankly, that this officer clearly was looking for a reason to stop the vehicle, didn't have one. He created one. He didn't have enough reasonable suspicion to just stop the vehicle on the information he had. And for all of those reasons, the court should have granted the suppression motion. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you.
Any questions at all?
Thank you, Mr. Mandel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dushman. Thank you very much. The case, of course, will be taken under advisement. All right.